ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God the Father is involved in creation. We see it Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke the world into existence. Psalm 33, verse 6 and verse 9. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So God the Father was actively involved in creation. We also see the Holy Spirit involved. Genesis 1, 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Job 33, 4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So we see God the Father, we see God the Holy Spirit actively involved in creating the heavens and the earth. And Jesus also, as we saw in Colossians 1:16. There's also in Genesis 1:26 an interesting verse. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Well, who is God speaking? Some would argue he's speaking of the plurality of royalty, which sounds very impressive, that he is so immense that he has spoken of in a plural way. That's ridiculous. You won't find anything in the scriptures that would point to that or support to that kind of thinking. But if you have to deny in the Trinity, you have to believe that. Others say he's speaking of angels. Well, that makes no sense when you think about it. Angels are a created being. They are servants of the living God. They don't create things. And it says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Again, more than one person. And who are we created in the image of? God. We were created not in the image of angels or any other created thing, in the image of God. So we see the triune God being spoken of, and they were all involved in creation. And Jesus is our creator God, along with the Father and the Spirit, because he is God. But is there evidence of creation, or is it just a story that we're reading that everything just evolved over billions of years? And there'll be people who tell you that. They'll tell you that the Genesis days spoken of in Genesis 1 speak of millions or billions of years. Well, that's ridiculous, because the sun was created later on than the plants, and that would have been billions of years without the sun, and how would the plants survive? That makes no sense. There's death before sin, so how could that work? Why don't we just read a day as being a day? Because it doesn't fit in with evolution. Well, that's the wrong answer. There's more evidence for creation than there is for evolution. And even evolutionists understand this fact. I'll share a couple things with you and show you the complexity of life. And again, I know this is a lot of science in this, but I think it's important we understand, because sometimes I think we're overwhelmed by what science tells us, because we're not aware of what other scientists are saying. And I consider creationists scientists. There are many scientists that are creationists, and they're just as knowledgeable in their fields as the evolutionist. Kurt Goodall wrote this: "The formation and geological time of the human body by the laws of physics or any other laws of similar nature, starting from a random distribution of elementary particles, and the field is as unlikely as the separation of the atmosphere into its components. The complexity of living things has to be present within the material from which they are derived or in the laws governing their formation." And it's interesting, he rejected God. He says it's impossible, but he rejects God. Dr. Werner Gitt wrote this: Without a doubt, the most complex information processing system in existence is the human body. If we take all human information processes together, conscious ones, language, information-controlled, deliberate voluntary movements, and unconscious ones, information-controlled functions of the organs, hormone system, this involves the processing of 10 to the 24 bits daily. This astronomical high figure is higher by a factor of a million times greater than the total human knowledge of 10 to the 18 bits stored in all the world's libraries. So we're told to believe that all this stuff happened by random chance or luck. No, we're created by God. You look at the human body, and isn't there incredible design built into it? I mean, not just chance happenings? Absolutely. Another person wrote this. He said, man-made machines are lubricated only by outside sources, but the body lubricates itself by manufacturing a jelly-like substance in the right amount at every place it is needed. Yes, the body is a wonder machine, despite the defects from genetic copying errors, mutations, that have accumulated since the fall of man brought on by the curse. The body has a chemical plant far more intricate than any plant that man has ever built. This plant changes the food we eat into living tissue. It causes the growth of flesh, blood, bones, and teeth. It even repairs the body when parts are damaged by accident or disease. Power for work and play comes from the food we eat. Even in freezing weather, our bodies will sometimes overheat. The body's own cooling system then takes over. Drops of perspiration pour from millions of tiny sweat glands in the skin. This is a major way in which our cooling system keeps our temperature down. The human body has an automatic thermostat that takes care of both our heating and cooling systems, keeping body temperature at about 37 degrees. I mean, think about that. How long did that take to evolve? And that's what I want to challenge you. Think about what is being said. How does something like that just form? Think about when you get a cut, all that has to happen so you don't bleed to death, so you don't get an infection. How many millions of years did that take to happen? Man would be extinct before that process could ever be around, and it could never just happen by random chance. It's too complex. The brain is the center of a complex computer system, more wonderful than the greatest one ever built by man. The body's computer system computes and sends throughout the body billions of bits of information, information that controls every action right down to the flicker of an eyelid. In most computer systems, the information is carried by wires and electronic parts. In the body, nerves are the wires that carry the information back and forth from the central nervous system. And in just one human brain, there is probably more wiring, more electrical circuitry than all the computer systems of the world put together. Yes, it's a wonderful thing, this brain of ours. The control center of the human body is the human brain. It is by far the most complex information management system in the universe. In fact, as we look at this very moment, we are actually seeing with our brain, although, of course, the message is carried there from another marvelous structure, the human eye. Modern cameras operate on the same basic principle as our eyes. In our eye, the focus and aperture are adjusted automatically. Think about that. Our brain has to develop a picture of what the eye is seeing. Is that incredible? How does that happen by random chance? You know, I was talking with my brother about the human eye. I said, it's so complex, it just can't happen. He said, well, and I said, explain it to me if you think it could just happen by random chance. He said, well, it's pretty complicated. No, it's impossible. It's not pretty complicated. It's impossible. Our brain has to turn the picture that's upside down, right side up, and it has to form the picture. That's pretty amazing. The sound we hear is being played on a perfect little musical instrument inside our ear. The sound waves go down the auditory canal and are carried by the bones of the middle ear to the cochlea, which is rolled up like a tiny seashell. This outer ear operates in air, but the cochlea is filled with liquid, and transferring sound waves from air to liquid is one of the most difficult problems known to science. Three tiny bones called the ossicles are just right to do the job that enables us to hear properly. Interestingly, the size of these little bones does not change from the time we are born. Wow. The heart actually is a muscle pumping pump forcing blood through thousands of miles of blood vessels. Blood carries food and oxygen to every part of the body. The heart pumps on average 6 liters, 1.5 U.S. gallons of blood every minute, and in one day pumps enough blood to fill more than 200 liter or 50 gallon drums. That's our heart. The human body is a wonderful machine. The fact that any of these devices exist is complete demonstration that they are the work of an intelligent and skillful designer, God Himself. The raw material, the basic chemicals in our body, can be found in the dust of the ground. However, these chemicals cannot arrange themselves into cell tissues, organs, and systems. That can only happen with the input of intelligence. The book of Genesis teaches that God took the dust of the ground, a heap of chemicals, shaped a man, and then blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Then man became a living soul. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, not random chance happening. Why are people so depressed, so discouraged today? I think they're so depressed, so discouraged, is because they have no hope that there's a God who loves them, that God created them for a purpose. We've taken that away and said, you're just a random chance happening. You're not important. And why can life be taken away so quickly? Because no one's important, but to God, everyone is important. The typical human adult has about 100 trillion cells. And each of these cells, except for red blood cells, contains within its nucleus the strands of DNA. And each of those cells virtually contain the entire set of information needed for the construction and daily functioning of our bodies. Wow. But we can't see the DNA with our naked eye. But if you had just a teaspoon full of DNA and you want to back it up on CDs, how many do you think you would need? One teaspoon full of DNA. And a CD can hold 16,000 five-page Word documents. 16,000. Let's say it would take 1 million CDs to back that information up in just one teaspoon of DNA. Well, that's not true. The reality is that you'd have to be given 1 million CDs every second for 9.5 years, and then you'd be able to back up the one teaspoon of DNA. 1 million CDs every 9.5 seconds to back up one teaspoonful of DNA, and it just happened by random chance. That's all the information in the DNA, and it happens randomly? Again, let's think this through. And it's interesting because these scientists know the complexity of life, but they reject it because the only other option is to believe in God, and they don't want to. And that's exactly what Paul says. They suppress the truth, and they believe a lie. They have to hold it down, even though they know life can't just happen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, think about the heart, just the heart. This pump can deliver life-giving blood to all our parts of the body, day and night, year after year, without fail. If it fails, we're dead, right? The heart has to keep pumping. How did God do this? Well, the heart's made up of soft tissue, not hard steel. And it pushes through at least 1,500 miles of blood vessels. Think about that, 1,500 miles. And some are as narrow as one blood cell. The capillaries, just one blood cell could pass through at a time. And the heart has to keep beating 100,000 times a day without tiring or malfunctioning. Can you imagine? You know, your muscles get tired, right? You got to rest them. The heart can't say, you know, I'm tired, I'm going to take a break. Again, you're dead. And blood has to go to the lungs to get rid of the carbon dioxide, pick up the oxygen, goes then back to the heart, and it's disseminated throughout the body. And we have two pumps, right side of the heart, left side of the heart. Right side of the heart picks up, pushes the blood to the lungs. Lungs put it back to the left side of the heart that then takes the blood and pushes it through the body. But the left side of that heart that has to push blood throughout the body, that's got to work a lot harder. So you know what God does? He makes that left side of the heart bigger and stronger than the right side of the heart, so it could pump blood throughout the body. Our heart, you know, it's not just pumping, it twists also, makes it more efficient by twisting. How did evolution know that? You see, let's think these things through. That's what God wants us to do. We have a pacemaker in our heart that sends electrical impulses down so the heart can pump the blood throughout the body and to the lungs. And that pacemaker will fire at a set rate. But if you start exercising, guess what? Your heart rate goes up. Why? Because your body needs more blood. The muscles need more blood. It's incredible what our human body can do. Random chance happening? There's no way. But that's what creation has to offer us, right? That we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's an amazing thing what God has done. But what does evolution have to offer us? I mean, we should look at what they have to say. You know, many of you are familiar with Popular Science magazine. It's a science magazine. And scientifically, they're explaining the Big Bang Theory. Again, a science magazine, this is how they explain the Big Bang Theory. In the beginning, there was nothing. Then with a Big Bang, an almost infinitely small, hot and dense universe exploded into existence. Did you get that? There was nothing in the beginning, and it exploded. Nothing exploded, which is really cool. That's science, okay? This is what they have to offer. Discover magazine, another science magazine, said, the universe burst into something from absolutely nothing, zero, nada. And as it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from absolutely nowhere. I wish my bank account would do that, right? It has absolutely nothing in it. Let's see it grow. That's not how it works. You know, it's kind of like the princess that kissed the frog, and it turned into a prince. It's a fairy tale. That's what they're giving us. And they know the Big Bang Theory is a joke that makes absolutely no sense. You know, my brother, again, you know, we were talking about the Big Bang Theory and how ridiculous it is. And he said, well, you know, I said, so how did this all start? Where did all those elements that was so in that little tiny thing that exploded to give us this universe that's 12 to 15 billion light years in diameter, how did it happen? He goes, well, we don't know where all that stuff came from. You just won't admit there's a God, will you? The impossibility of macroevolution and life just happening by random chances, easy to see. We never see one creature evolving into another. The odds of a cell forming randomly by chance alone, zero. Stephen Meyer, in one of his books, Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design, the chapter is titled Odds and Ends, talks about the odds of a minimally complex cell coming to existence. He talks about how even a relatively short protein, of which cells are made of in the range of, say, 150 amino acids, that there are approximately 10 to the 195 possible combinations. Wow. He wrote, let's start with something small. The generally accepted age of the universe is around 13.8 billion years. That's what they say. When you translate that into seconds, the number of seconds that have passed in the entire history of the universe is 10 to the 17th, also known as 10 to the power of 17. So the number of seconds that have passed in the universe is 10 to the 17th, or 1 followed by 17 zeros. The number of estimated cells in the human body is 10 to the 14th power. The number of subatomic particles in the known universe is 10 to 80. You know, we're moving beyond the amount of time that they have. When I was in school, the Earth was just a couple billion years old. But we've had to make the Earth a lot older. Why? Because they need time for all this to happen. Again, that's not science. They weren't there. When did this all start? Well, I know somebody who was there who told me, and that's God. And we're probably about 6,000 years old or so, this Earth. And we see that. You look at man himself. You know, we have mutations. We have these genetic problems. And that began when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. You go out, say, a million years, man wouldn't be in existence because of all the mutations that they would have that would be deadly. Now, yes, most mutations are not harmful, but year after year, you keep passing those mutations along and it gets worse and worse and worse. Man wouldn't be around. And we see that today, don't we? We have autoimmune diseases where the body is fighting against itself, destroying itself. It's the mutations. This is the result of sin in this world, and the human body is failing. Guys, life happening from non-life is beyond any mathematical possibility. There is no way it could just happen by random chance. And I realize that was probably a lot of information, a lot of numbers, but I hope you're blown away by the fact that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Every morning we get up, you go, man, Lord, you are amazing. I mean, how many of you, when you went to bed last night, stood up so you can remember to tell your heart to beat? None of you. That's good. Why? God put in the pacemaker, like I said. Did you remember to breathe? Oh, no, you just normally breathe. Isn't that amazing how God has made us? And you look around the room, you see the variety of life. God loves variety. Not just with the plant life and the trees and all these things that we have, the animals, but human life. I mean, imagine if you all looked like me. Oh my gosh, you know, how horrible. God's given us a great variety. And I love that about our God. None of us are alike. It's pretty amazing. But again, evolutionists have many problems. Leonard Susskind at Stanford University, he's a physicist, said, two stories are possible. The first is creationist. God made man with some purpose that evolved man's ability to appreciate and worship God. Let's forget about that story. The whole point of science is to avoid such stories. Is that the point of science? No, the point of science is to look at the evidence, and then what? Then you come to a conclusion. You look at what's out there, and then you come to a conclusion and say, okay, this couldn't happen by random chance. This had to be built by intelligent design, a creator God. And God has already told us the story. But if you want to reject God, you can do it. Do you ever wonder what holds us all together? It's God. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. And people laugh at that. But if God ever let go, do you know what's going to happen? I do. Because he's already told me in 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's the big bang. And that's coming. After the millennial reign, after Satan's loose for a season, God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth with a new Jerusalem for us to dwell in. And when Peter says the elements will melt, he uses a Greek word L-O-U, lou, which means to be loosed. An atomic explosion takes place when slow-moving neutrons are used to bombard the nucleus of the atom. They're loosed. And when that happens, the positively charged protons respond according to their nature and begin to repel each other. And the result is the atom is split and an atomic explosion takes place. God is going to loose those bounds that holds us together. I like that about our God, that he holds us together. Evolutionists try to figure out what holds things together. And this is their explanation. Because the nucleus should explode, these atoms should explode, they shouldn't be held together, but they are. And this is what they said. Again, this is from evolutionist scientists. A proton is made of three quarks, yes, but the quarks are infinitesimally just 2% or so of the proton's total mass. They're rattling around at near light speed inside the proton, but they're imprisoned in flickering clouds of other particles, other quarks, which materialize briefly and then vanish, and above all, gluons, which transmit the force that binds the quarks together. Did you get that? Yeah. Gluons are massless and fleeting, but they carry most of the proton's energy. That's why it is more accurate to say protons are made of gluons rather than quarks. Proteins are little blobs of glue, but even that picture conveys something too static and substantial. All is flux and crackling energy inside a proton. It's like an unending lightning storm in a bottle, less than 0.1 trillionth of an inch in diameter. It's a very rich dynamic structure, says Wilczek, and it's very pleasing that we have a theory that can reproduce it. So here's the thing. This is what I get out of that. They're telling us that what's holding protons together has no mass, lasts briefly, but has enough power, even though they have no mass and they're there just fleeting and disappear, but they can hold everything together. When you're trying to disprove God, you ignore the facts and believe that protons are held together by something that has no mass and is gone before you know it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.